Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, everyone, I am so excited because we are finally to the campaign kickoff for Unwavering Faith. As you know, I am indie publishing all my books, and when you publish on your own, it takes funds to pay for the cover design, editing, publishing, audiobook, marketing, and more. In this week's Writing Corner video, I share why I chose to indie publish, why I am only offering direct sales, and all the details on how you can purchase a copy of Unwavering Faith. So be sure to check it out on Literary Escape's Rumble or YouTube channel. For those of you listening to this podcast episode, I want to quickly share how you can pre-order the limited edition copies of Unwavering Faith. We have three limited edition book covers to choose from in our first campaign. I will sign and number each book, and these covers have a limited number, and once they sell out, they are gone. For tier one, we have a paperback copy of Unwavering Faith with the limited edition cover featuring my husband and me. The availability of this book cover for purchase is limited to just 200 copies priced at $50 each. For tier two, we have a hardback copy of Unwavering Faith with the limited edition cover featuring my husband and me. It is limited to just 100 copies, and this book cover is available for purchase at $100 each. For tier three, our top tier, we have a leather-bound copy of Unwavering Faith. This book is limited to just 50 copies, each priced at $200. You can purchase one or all of these books at our store on our website by visiting literaryescape.com/campaign. Please note that the estimated publication and shipping date is February 1st, 2025. By purchasing these limited edition books, you are funding the publication of Unwavering Faith. Thank you for joining me on what I anticipate being an epic adventure. After all, epic is what God does, and He is the captain of this journey. Until next time, happy and blessed reading. All right, let's dig into this week's discussion of Dare to Love Again by Julie Lessman.
She's a sassy socialite burned by love. He's a jaded cop burned by the upper class. When sparks fly, will love catch fire again? Spunky Allison McClair is determined to be a fearless, independent woman. But when she takes a notion to explore the wild Barbary Coast, she quickly discovers she's no match for the unsavory characters that haunt the dark streets. Detective Nick Baroni would rather do almost anything than teach this petite socialite self-defense. But it seems he has little choice. Sparks fly every time the two meet, with a grudging friendship develops into something deeper. But he is just a fraud like all the rest of the men Allison's cared for, or is he the one who will let her dare to love again?
I do like this. So this is the second book in Julie's Hearts of San Francisco series. Actually, it's The Heart of San Francisco. Yeah. I keep saying that wrong. Dare to Love Again. So this one features Nick and Allison. Now, Allison is Caitlin's daughter, which is Blake's sister. Mm-hmm. Cassidy's cousin. So when you read the books, it's not hard to track who's who and how they're connected. But for anyone who hasn't read them yet, that's the family connection there. Okay. So Logan is her uncle. Mm-hmm. And I will say Allison is spunky is a good word to describe her.
Yes. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Definitely.
And let's just talk about Allison and Nick's relationship.
Now, this one, I would say, is kind of violent. Especially in the beginning. I just keep thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing that.
Okay. So their first reaction is like right off the front page.
Yes, it's not a good one.
It isn't, because he already has an opinion of rich people.
Yes.
And he has a grudge against Logan, her uncle.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that obviously will get worked out in the end, but that's how it starts off. And her and her mom are starting the school in the Barbary Coast.
Yes.
For the young girls there.
Yes.
They want to give them a solid education to help them get up and out of that area. Of course, we know from the first book, Caitlin is working as part of the Vigilance Committee.
Vigilance Committee, yeah.
And so they are working to clean up all the brothels and everything down
the gambling down holes there. And all that, yeah.
So she's going to teach. Mm-hmm. She's in there working on setting up her classroom and stuff. And here Nick, who is a police officer, detective. Comes in and he is very rude. Don't you think he was rude?
Yes, he was.
He's like, I don't know who you think you are, but your Packard shouldn't be sitting out front in this neighborhood. You know, you're going to get robbed, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. Oh, they just bicker back and forth.
Just pick. Yeah.
And then she takes her pointer.
That wooden pointer.
Pointer and just whacks it on his shoulder.
He broke it.
But she whacked him with it because she was like, get out of my classroom.
Yeah. That's where the violent part comes in, because she does it more than once.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I should have kept a lid on my anger. You know,
she goes, I promised mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, see, he has a disdain for rich people.
Yeah.
And a grudge against Logan. But then she is like, every man is terrible, because she's had her heart broken like two or three times now.
Yes. Yes. And you kind of find that out in this book that it's like the last guy really did her bad.
Every time she falls in love, something happens.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm not having anything to do with any man.
And, yeah.
She kind of has a taint. And that's where she constantly is like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I should have not said that or not done that. But theirs is pretty contentious, hostile, maybe, throughout the whole.
Yes.
I mean, they're one of those that's like, remind me a little bit of Jamie and Jenny.
Yes. Yes.
They're always going to be like, with each other.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they love each other.
Yes.
Kind of always battling. Okay, so that becomes very interesting, I think, throughout the story. But there are things that happen where he starts to let down his guard with her, or she lets down her guard with him. Now, let's just talk about a few things between the two of them. First of all, he tells her, do not walk down these streets after dark.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to ride the trolley. She wants this freedom.
Cable car. Yes.
Cable car.
Yeah. Yes.
No, you can't go down there as a woman, especially dressed all fancy.
Yeah.
You can't be walking these streets. Blah, blah, blah. What does she do?
She stays late when she wasn't supposed to after school and walks right down through the Barbary Coast.
Yeah. And I thought it was going to be him that would save her from those hooligans, but it was, is it Penny? Is that her name?
Yes.
I think. Would you call him his landlady? I mean, he stays basically at a.
Yeah.
Board. Okay. His chief has an aunt.
Yes.
Who runs
an orphanage.
And his chief asked that she's got a room for him to board in.
Yeah.
And he specifically put him in there because he said, I want you to also provide protection for my aunt and these girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's right. Yeah. It's not in, but it's right on the edge of the really seedy neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that's why he lives there.
Yes.
So,
and also to say it's right next to the school.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's not him that comes out to rescue her. It's Miss Penny.
Yeah.
With her shotgun.
Which surprised me. I figured it would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which then, of course, when he gets home.
Yes.
And sees her there. First, he's annoyed. Like, what is she doing here? You know, I just want my peace, you know.
And I leave love the smart remarks or the things he says. And mm-hmm. Penny's like,
I know.
No. You know, she's a very nice girl.
Like, I know. I love the way
he's. Yes.
And then he has to take her home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you find out he gets motion sickness.
Yes, because they went down to the cable car.
And he eats animal crackers.
Yeah, he eats animal crackers. Like the first time they met, like he came in and talked. She's like, he smells really strong with animal crackers because he has an ulcer. So he's got the little Barnum and Bailey boxes of animal crackers.
And she's like, you smell like a little boy. And he's like, well, they settle my stomach, you know. And later at the end, when he's talking to Logan, he goes, when am I going to know that I have your blessing to marry your niece? And he's like, when a large crate of animal crackers shows up on your doorstep.
I remember that.
Oh, I loved it. So, you know, he's just mad.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They go at each other all the time. Oh, they, Mr. Baloney. I mean, she has so many.
And he's got nicknames for her. He's got nicknames
Yes.
for
okay, her. So let's talk about Lottie. Lottie is a little girl.
Yeah.
That's staying with where he stays.
Yeah.
Sweetest thing ever. She lied to get out of bedtime story time to go down and see him because she heard him come in, you know. And then she goes to the school and she's super sweet there. She always stays late and sharpens pencils and everything.
Yes.
And so when she's not around, Nick called her Miss Lottie Da.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like irritated with her. So then Lottie at school, she goes, I didn't know. She's like saying this to Allison. I didn't know your name was Lottie. And she's like, I didn't know we had the same name. She's like, Mr. Nick calls you Miss Lottie Da. And she's like, are you kidding? You know, of course, Lottie thinks it's the greatest thing. And so then she goes, could you call me that? I like the sound of it. I want to be called Miss Lottie Da. So the rest of the book, they call little Lottie Miss Lottie Da.
Yes, 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 yes. That was cute.
She was an adorable character.
Yes, she was. She was.
And so then there's these other things that you'll find out about Nick. But he ends up taking her to Chinatown. And that ends up kind of ending in a fight, too, which then gets settled down. And then when they finally settle in, one of my favorite things is when he took her and Lottie to, like, I think they finally decided they were going to court and everything.
Yeah.
He took them to the coast, some restaurant
like
on the coast.
Like a pier or close.
Yeah. And they had dinner and then he got them chocolate. I think it was Ghirardelli chocolate or something.
Yeah. Ghirardelli chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was a super
sweet treat. Hershey's? Because in the first one, Jamie loved the Hershey's because they were talking about the little Hershey candy bars. It was either Hershey's or Ghirardelli. Or it might have been both in the book, actually.
I'm not sure.
Because you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory was down there in town.
I think so.
Yes.
I think maybe. But I just loved the way Lottie's like curled up in his lap on his shoulder and he's carrying her and she's got chocolate smudged and she's like, can they have more chocolate, Mr. Nick? You know?
Yeah, yes, yes.
I mean, it was just like the sweetest little interaction. And then doesn't he give Allison a kiss then too that maybe Lottie sees.
Yes, and then doesn't Lottie wake up during that?
Yeah, and it's like, it's
so
sweet.
Can I have one too or something?
Yeah. So, there's some great things in there, but yes, they're definitely like a back and forth
kind
of couple. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Nick's past and his current job. Because there's really a mystery throughout because there's this He keeps recalling DeLuca, I want to say.
Yes.
Is that...
And I was trying to figure out who this DeLuca was.
Who is that? And he keeps saying, you need to buy your time. We just need a little more time.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure out, is it good? Is it bad?
But let's just start with his disdain for rich people.
Yes.
And why he doesn't like Logan. So first of all, he had a fiance who was rich.
Mm-hmm.
She did him wrong.
Yes.
So that's why he is always like initially with Allison, like she's just like all the other rich girls. Yeah. You know? And then he has a friend who lives in Chinatown whose son died due to regulations that were put in, temporary regulations that were put in
for the plague or something.
Yeah. And Logan was on that. He's on like a supervisor board or something. Yeah,
it's not the health one, but it's on a different one. Yes.
Yeah. And he blames Logan for that death. He's like, all you rich men just sit up in your rich houses and make these, pass down these verdicts. And it costs the lives of innocent people. You know, like he just really goes at Logan. I won't give away the behind the scenes on that either. Yeah. But, so really him and Logan butt heads too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they go toe to toe quite a bit throughout because remember when he took her home after the attack and she was like, don't tell my uncle or my mom that I got attacked.
Yes.
And at first he was staying quiet. And then he just said, he just laid it all out there, you know? Yeah.
Yes.
But then did you find it interesting then when Logan can't stand him, but he chose him because he didn't want Allison's heart broken again.
Yeah.
So he felt confident that Nick wouldn't make any moves on his, on Allison.
And And Nick told him he wouldn't because he couldn't stand her because she was rich. Yeah.
Of course, you know right away that's a setup for, well, that's going to cause a problem.
Yes, yes.
And, but what did you think about that interaction? I kind of wasn't always happy with Logan during these interactions with Nick because Logan held basically because he is rich, right? He's got this position of board of supervisors, right? But he also has money to sway people, which I felt like he used to put pressure on the chief, who then turned around and put pressure on Nick.
I felt bad because like the chief didn't even give him an option in that.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's either this or you can give me a badge and you can walk out.
Yeah.
Well, I think the chief should have, you know, called Nick in and said, hey, this is something that's being offered. Are you interested? And back up Nick, his detective.
Yeah.
Instead of Logan.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I know that was part of it that I'm like, I just don't really care for. I felt like Logan was using his position.
I think his heart was in the right place to protect his niece. But like you said, he had the power and money to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
And he knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So I wasn't too thrilled.
No.
During those interactions. What did you think about the jujitsu? That's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Those lessons that he gave Allison.
Hilarious. And I love how. Okay. Well, let's just back up a minute. Remember the meeting that they had? And she didn't realize who the new... Like the security guard?
Oh, yes.
Okay. She didn't realize who it was, but I just have to talk about this one thing. She took Lottie home.
Yes.
Remember? And when she comes back to the school for the meeting, she takes off those boots and she tries to slide across the floor, but ends up falling flat on her back, looking at the ceiling outside the door of her mom's office.
Uh-huh.
By the way, her mom's in there, Cassie and Nick.
And... another lady that works there. Maybe
the other teacher. I can't think of her name. Older lady.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, remind me of my sister Melissa because she's very klutzy. I thought this is something she would do, and this is what would happen. So she was like totally embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
And her mom like, straighten yourself up, fix your.
I know because her hair
was a mess. And then she goes in there, and there's Nick sitting. So like to make it even more complicated, she's like, okay, I hate this guy and now he's gonna be here all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So and then the jitsu is I love their outfits. Like in the first one, you know, when they're swimming, like they describe like the women's swimming, like, and then like, I'm like, that doesn't even sound comfortable to wear.
Yeah.
You know? And so the
jujitsu,
whatever.
It was, I hope I'm saying that right.
It was funny to listen to them like do it. And yeah. I'm surprised she didn't really hurt him really bad. Like,
remember when she did the showed off what she learned with on Blake?
Yes,
that no, was, not on Blake. On yes, Jamie.
Jamie.
Remember, Jamie's the boxer. He goes, "All right, come on, show me what you got."
And she knocked him down.
Knocked him down.
Knocked the air right out of him.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that, you know, he had to teach her. She's a girl. He's a guy.
Yeah.
You have to put your hands on him.
Yeah.
You know, you would think.
I know, that created that tension.
Yeah, and there I'm like, well, Logan is kind of backfiring.
Yeah.
Your plan.
So. Yeah, but he was thinking like, this guy will never.
Yeah.
Go for my niece, anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which leads to made their first kiss interesting because he was like, "I can't kiss you." And she's like, "Why not?" He goes, "I'm under contract with your uncle."
And speaking of the contract. She made him sign a contract.
Yeah. And he's like, "What's it with you
and your
McClares and their contracts
about like, you can't say anything bad, like can't call names." That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Yeah. They have so many funny moments in there. All right. Now, because of his current job.
Yes.
Current job isn't his real job. It is, but it isn't.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Yes.
And so then Logan really screws things up. Don't you agree? Between Nick and Allison. Towards the end.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
And poor Allison is like.
Oh, yes. That's
devastated.
Right.
Devastated.
Yes. She's. Yes. Because he leaves.
Oh. He has to leave.
He has to leave, though.
But he then has to some take care of things.
Then that's where some of his secrets he's been hiding
come out. But they were, yes, there was a reason behind them.
Yeah.
But then what? Nick came in and said, not Nick. I'm sorry. Logan came in and told Allison, "You're not really who you think you're in love with. That's not really who he is. This is who he is. This is what he's done." And he, it's like this terrible.
Terrible thing. Like
terrible just, thing. Of course, Nick comes back barreling into Logan's office when he comes back and is like,
"Yeah,
you, how dare you?" You know, like he was pretty mad. But
and then like how and then in it where Logan's like, "I want to protect my niece. Don't want to get her hurt."
Yeah.
You end up hurting her the worst.
He did. He did.
By doing what he did.
Mm hmm. He should have just, because he was blinded by his need to protect, I guess, his niece. I don't know. It was kind of. Now, a couple of things.
Okay.
Couple of things to talk about. So, obviously, Allison and Nick are our main love story, but we still have Kate and Logan going along down here.
Yes.
There's lots of interactions with them. So. There's a new player in the field, too.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Turner.
Yes.
Okay. This gets very interesting.
And he's the
district attorney.
Yes.
Right? He's the DA. Him and Logan used to be best friends in college until.
Caitlin!
They both wanted Caitlin.
Yeah.
And Logan won out at that point, right? Because he got engaged to her. Of course, that went south. We all know that went south. And they neither one got her. And they were both surprised that she ended up with Logan's brother, Liam.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, Liam's been gone for 3-4 years now. And, you know, Logan's been spending time. It's his family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's also trying to woo Caitlin through this whole process. And then in walks Andrew Turner, who is part of the vigilance committee.
Yeah.
And he starts to pursue her, right?
Mm-hmm. Which I
what did you think about that?
Which I didn't like because he would just always show up unannounced in the evenings. Logan was always there. It's like he knew. Like at the one time when he came to like Logan's office, he's like, come on, can't we put this behind us and all this? But I'm like, well, you're not really helping the situation. Mm-mm.
And I think at one point, I don't know if it was in this book or the next, where he said, Andrew, if my car's parked out front, do not come into this house.
Yes, he did say that in one of the books.
Yeah. But it creates this a lot of tension mm-hmm. between Logan and Kate, too.
Yeah.
Right. And initially, Kate's like, I'm not interested in that way. We're just friends, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Now, that's going to go somewhere in the next book, so we won't dive into that yet. But what did you think then about Logan and Kate are getting closer, but then because they start pulling apart because of Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Because towards the end of the book, Andrew, spoiler alert here, mm-hmm. tells Kate that Jamie is Logan's son.
Yes.
What do you think? Okay, let's just back up. What did you think about Logan's reasons for not saying anything yet?
I mean, I understood his reasons, but he also told Jamie he was timing it out because of the vigilante committee, like the different stages. So I feel like he was kind of getting a little selfish about it. But with Andrew, I think that was wrong what he did. And that was not his place to say that. And he was just trying to get points with Caitlin.
Right. And then I thought, why didn't you see through that, Caitlin? Why else would he?
Yeah.
Why else would he say that?
I also thought with Caitlin, sometimes her character frustrated me because she would like, I need you, Logan. I need your help. I need your support.
Please don't leave me.
Please don't leave me. Hugging him, you know, and then turn around and like, no. Like she'd find something and just put the brakes on. And then when he threatens to walk out, she's like, no, don't leave me. And I'm like, you're kind of playing with his heartstrings. Like you want a friendship. You know he wants more. Stop going back and forth.
Yeah.
Pick one or the other.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next book, the last book in the series.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does get to be a little irritating because you're like, either you want him or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and her fear really gets in the way.
Yes.
Of all of that. So that puts a real twist because it's going along and you think, oh, they're going to finally get together. Then bam.
Yes.
You know, that's how it goes. Though.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And then the nuggets of truth or wisdom in this one. Again, she put in marriage to a man of God. She put that in there. I think she puts that in almost all of her books, really. One of the things that gets talked a lot about a lot. Because, you know, Caitlin's having lots of discussions with Allison and through all of her struggles is prayer. We're going to pray about it. Mm-hmm. You're going to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that. And so I can't remember. I had something on like page 361 about that. She talks about the prayer, which is so true. When you're coming up against. It's between Allison and Caitlin. I think it's after that Logan says that stuff. That's not true. Says, I don't know, Mother. I have no idea how God can bring good from something so painful.
Right.
And then she says, no, but I do because I've done it before and I will do it again. Only this time we'll do it together. We're going to use this very love that has wounded us so deeply to heal our hearts and those of the men over whom we grieve. It all begins with one of God's most powerful precepts, to pray for them which despitefully use you. We'll pray for God to bless them, heal them, and bring them to him. Then we'll pray for God's grace and strength to forgive and love them as he does, unconditionally, expecting nothing in return except to see the touch of God in their lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Allison goes, we?
Yeah, we. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Because I don't understand, Mother. Why would you need to forgive Daddy? He didn't mean to die. She didn't realize. She goes, no, not Daddy. His brother, your Uncle Logan.
Yeah. And she didn't realize. Yeah.
That. But it is in this book that the kids start picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the third book, they really.
Mm-hmm.
are trying to get their mom and Uncle Logan together.
And they really want them to get together.
They do. Yeah. They don't like Andrew at all. But, I guess it does then. So I love that she put that in there. And I've talked to Julie. We've talked to Julia a couple times already, or at least I have. And she shared a story about, now it wasn't a guy that she was in love with or anything. It was a guy from work that was just a grouch and was always mean towards her. So she just started praying for him, and she'd bring him coffee or little treats and just keep praying and praying. And she said, and God turned him around. Like, he stopped being so
That's vicious, good.
Which was pretty cool, which I know he can do that, right? When we are kind to our enemies, it's like pouring hot coals on their head. She does. It does talk about on page 390. This is what I was talking about with Kate. It's her fear.
Yeah, she keeps letting that play, and it's like,
it distorts her wisdom. I think Logan even points that out to her, and he's like, oh, maybe this is just him thinking. He said, if he'd learned one thing through all of this, it was that fear distorted wisdom every single time. Fear that she would have never given him. Fear that she would have never given him a chance. And the same fear that kept her from trusting him ever again.
Yeah.
It does distort your wisdom.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're in this panic mode and you can't really think of anything other than protect myself.
Yes.
Which is Caitlin.
Yes.
Every time she starts to get close to Logan, then she's like, nope.
I
can't do this.
Or somebody says something and it,
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk about from this one? I know you really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny. I just loved the thing between Allison and Nick. You know, the whacking him with the stick.
Oh, yeah.
All that just there. And him on the cable car. I would never guess that. Yeah. So I really like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their family gatherings and outings continued.
Yes.
They were
yes.
fun.
Yes.
All right, so let's rate the following elements then for Dare to Love Again. How about the mystery level?
I would say like a mocha.
I would agree. There was more to it this time.
Yeah.
How about the drama?
Wait, mocha to latte.
I was leaning that way too because they're so combative.
Yes.
And then Andrew Turner coming in. And messing up with that.
Yeah.
There is a lot of drama in there with that as well. How about suspense? I'd probably say mocha. I feel like there were some scenes that were suspenseful, like her attack scene, their second attack.
Yes, yes. I forgot about that second attack. Yes, yes.
And then when he left, all that took place there when he left.
Yeah. So, I'd say a mocha.
How about romance?
I say espresso or mocha.
I probably go mocha. When they are together, then that heat and that tension is there, but it wasn't like over the top.
Yeah.
For sure. How about inspiration?
I say mocha to a latte.
Somewhere. I would agree. Because again, I just think Julie does a really good job of weaving that stuff into the conversations. All right. What is your overall lasso rating? I think I know what it is.
It's for a three.
Dare to Love Again. Yeah, it's a three. It's a three for sure. I would agree. It was hard. I read through these fast. I think you did too, didn't you?
Yeah. Which I'm surprised, but I did pick this series out.
You did.
I just could not put it down. It's like, got to keep reading next chapter.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that is our discussion of A Dare to Love Again. And we'll be back next week for the final book in the series, Surprised by Love. And that is going to be the second to youngest sister.
Yes.
Story.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.